Welcome to iRun Radio. Coming up, running in dozens of different countries.
Running through Red Square in Moscow on the 65th anniversary of their World War II. Hong Kong Harbor, running in Kowloon, getting on this boat quay in Singapore, the Bund in Shanghai, Sydney Harbor, just some fabulous places.
A painful start for a future champion.
And they were offering like a $500 bonus for a course record. Jumped into it and ran probably what's still like the most painful race of my life. I definitely blew up and I had a really painful last 5K, but in the end, I got the record, and the recovery was awful, though.
And 350 marathons and counting.
I'm thankful that I can still do it, so I'll keep on doing it until they take me off the course.
All of that and more coming up on iRun Radio. We're joined now by the editor and general manager of iRun, Ben Kaplan. Hi, Ben.
Hello there.
Were you watching the coverage of the New York City Marathon last weekend?
Ooh, exciting times. Good times to be a runner. Something like that is when suddenly everybody's a runner. You know, everybody's talking about it. And
yeah,
we're trending like on the New York Times. So,
50,000 participants.
Yeah,
incredible.
Yeah, amazing. And an American winner in New York since the first time since, I don't remember when.
It was 40 years, yeah. The American, the first five or six times they had a women's prize, an American won it, and that went up to 1977, and then no American woman has won it since then until Shalane Flanagan last Sunday.
And how old was she? She's in
36, I think. Yeah,
36 years old, and like did it now. I mean, the story. I mean, that's what's so great about the sport. You can't make this stuff up, and you can't. I mean, these heroes and these people and these impossible things that people routinely do. It's just a great reminder, and I know I'm not the only one who I'm sure went out running later that day.
Yeah,
you know, with a spring in my step.
I actually watched a little bit of it while I was running on a treadmill.
Oh, that's
so
great.
That
yeah,
got
perfect.
Me.
I bet you sped up.
Yeah, exactly. No, you get that little buzz from seeing these guys, and you see the moments when they cross the finish line, and it's so inspiring. And of course, you're not running 42 kilometers that day, so it doesn't hurt as much. So you can get a little extra spring in your step, right?
Right, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, some very inspiring performances there. And I've done New York three times. It is one of the ones I recommend very, very highly. It's very tough to get into, but it's an amazing experience. And even though you're from New York, you've never done it, right?
No, that's right. I actually
Wow.
didn't get into running. And when I was there, I don't know what I was doing, but I was in the bars in the Lower
yeah.
East Side. I was
leading a life of debauchery.
until I came to Canada and had my eyes opened up. I missed out on it. I never saw it. I never participated in it. It wasn't even on my radar. So, like, yeah, I don't know. It'd be nice to go back home and do a victory lap. But
you got to do it, man. You got to do it.
I know.
So let's talk about what you're doing right now, reaching out to people on social media, gathering stories like we always do. But the theme this time around, I think, is really powerful. And it's about running is for everybody, not just everybody, but everybody.
It's exciting, you know, and it's one of these things that when, we're doing things constantly, obviously, but when we can strike a chord, you know you're in the right space, judging by just the responses we get. And so it has been exciting, and we're hearing these stories, and we're assigning the stories from the new issue basically based on, you know, our Facebook page and our Twitter and Instagram. We're posting stuff, and people are responding, and I'm like, yes, tell me about that. You know, people talking about the first time they went running outside during the day. People talking about, you know, riding a bus to a start of a race. I can't remember which race it was, and someone said to her friend, wow, a lot of inexperienced runners here just looking at somebody's figure, and the woman had already run two marathons. So, you know, these sort of issues that we're talking about need to be addressed.
Yeah.
I think, you know, we serve a purpose to sort of make this community better and less judgmental and more thoughtful. And, you know, we're spreading these. We have these great sort of ambassadors sharing their stories. And by all means, anybody listening, we are we're open for business, and we want to share, and we want to hear, and we want to help, and we want to get involved. So
good stuff.
You know,
yeah, I have to say, the first marathon I ran back in 2004, the Ottawa Marathon that year, I remember seeing people of all shapes and sizes running the marathon
exactly.
that day. And I
yeah.
noticed it, and I noticed some of them who were passing me, you know, so it's they were going faster than I was. And it left an impression on me. It really showed me that you can't judge people based on their appearance, their size, anything like that, and that marathon running is for everybody. There are some people, obviously, who have maybe issues with injuries or problems with their knees or something like that, who can't do it. But for the most part, anybody could do this if they want to.
I mean, and it just circles back with what we love about the sport. That it's basically, you know, whether you're Shailene Flanagan or Meb or any of these people, or you're me or my mother or whoever, we still have to get ourselves out of the door. We still have to go in the cold. We still have to put our sneakers on. We still have to go running around the block when we're tired and we'd rather watch the Family Guy or whatever it is. Like, you know, it's the so it just feels like the right message at the right time. And there's so much negativity and bad news out there. It's like, this is like,
good
just
stuff.
It feels right. Yeah, thanks. Good.
Yeah, quick word about Leslie Sexton, who's going to be on the show today. She won the Canadian women's title in Toronto when we were there.
Yeah, and she's a friend of the paper. She's been writing for us a bunch, and she's hometown, and she's, you know, outspoken, and she's just wonderful. And, you know, her winning in Toronto was a lot like what just happened in New York. She is, I think she's from Guelph, but she, she's really just inspiring, terrific, and she stuck at it for a while. And now, you know, with some of the other elite females that we've been following sort of taking a step back, she's taking a step forward, and she's wonderful.
Right on. All right, Ben, we'll talk to you next week.
Appreciate your time.
That's Ben Kaplan, iRun's editor and general manager. We're also going to talk on the show today to a Toronto dentist who has run more than 350 marathons. And coming up next, a runner whose road to Boston was even longer than mine. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge. Four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Welcome back to iRun Radio. iRun Radio is live every Sunday morning on 1310 News in Ottawa. You can also listen to the podcast and check out past editions of the show at iRun.ca. Just click on radio. I met a runner a few weeks ago who told me his road to Boston was even longer than mine. It goes all the way back to the 1980s. He's also a world traveler who has been to more than 100 countries. Rick Shaver, welcome to iRun Radio.
Thanks, Mark. Thanks so much for having me.
And it was great to meet you in Toronto, and you shared with me the fact that your Boston journey is even longer than mine. I guess your first marathon was in the 1980s, and since then you've been working your way towards a Boston qualifier. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. I actually my first marathon was 1982 in Vancouver, and I guess I have no business being a runner as a former 240-pound University of Alberta defensive end who spent a lot of time in the weight room. But, so I started after my football career, and, you know, I was always into collision sports like football and rugby and wrestling, and I was looking for a new form of torture, I guess, marathon running. So, I kind of went, you know, during the 90s where and early 2000s where our kids were younger and we spent most of the time backing out of the driveway to their activities, I still was a runner, but not as competitive. And I sort of kicked back into gear in 2004 with marathons pretty much every year since.
All right. And you mentioned you played football and rugby. I know some former hockey players who run, but there aren't as many football players and certainly not as many former linemen who are marathon runners. That's an unusual transition.
It is true, and I can tell you after going to different reunions of my former teams, because I did my undergrad at McGill and then my postgrad at University of Alberta, and at some of the reunions, some of my fellow defensive linemen have had hips replaced and knees replaced and stuff, so for some reason, this body seems to sort of carry on, so I just keep it going.
Yeah, well, good for you. And fingers crossed that continues. So tell me about some of the marathons that you've done along the way.
Well, some of my favorites, I guess, were after Vancouver. I did Toronto and Montreal, and then I started to get into several of the U.S. ones. I did the Marine Corps Marathon in Washington, Chicago, Cleveland, Indianapolis, New York, of course, which was magnificent. And then I started to combine my international travel passion with marathon running, and that led to Berlin in 2011, Amsterdam in 2012, and then Budapest in 2014, followed by Buenos Aires in 2016, and this past August in Reykjavik, Iceland.
Wow. So you mentioned your love of travel, and you have been to more than 100 countries in the world. You're part of a group called the Traveler Century Club. Is that right?
That's correct.
Yeah.
That's
so,
correct.
So how many countries have you been to?
117 countries and territories with the Traveler's Century Club.
Wow. So obviously you love to travel, and do you typically run in those places that you visit in a lot of cases? I know you don't do a marathon there necessarily every time, but do you like to run in the places you're visiting?
I do. I it's one of the best ways to really get to know a city or a piece of geography. And I've had some great experiences, everything from running through Red Square in Moscow on the 65th anniversary of their World War II. The park system in Greater London, High Park, St. James, Regent Park, Hong Kong Harbor, running in Kowloon, getting on the Star Ferry and over to run up the Victoria Peak, Boat Quay in Singapore, the Bund in Shanghai, Sydney Harbor, just some fabulous places that as runners do, we love to tour places and see it from the ground up.
Yeah, and it's a great way to see a new place, isn't it? It's a great speed to travel at, to observe things, and you get out sometimes earlier in the day when maybe it would be too early to get the family moving and doing touristy things, and you get that run in, and you see some things that you might not otherwise see, and you get your bearings in that new place, right?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And sometimes, you can take a chance and run in really unusual circumstances. My wife and I were in Bagan in Myanmar this spring, and got a chance to run in amongst hundreds of ancient temples in Bagan.
Wow.
Places like Amboseli last year, game reserve in Kenya. And getting chased by a troop of baboons. That was kind of fun. And even May Day Parade in Kiev in the Ukraine, or One Foot Island in Aitaki Cook Islands. I always try to have my running gear with me and get a chance to get out and enjoy the sights.
Yeah, sounds great. So turning back to some of those international marathons that you did, is there one that stands out? You mentioned Reykjavik. You mentioned Budapest. Are there a couple that are highlights for you?
I would say for different reasons, and I think one of the great things about the running community around the world is they tend to include iconic sites as part of the running, the running routes.
Right.
And I would say top of the list still has to be New York City, just because you're going through five boroughs, you're starting on the Verrazano Narrows Bridge, which is spectacular, going through the twists and turns of Central Park, being part of the crowd roar when you come down First Avenue, amazing. Actually, it just reminded me of I remember bumping into a guy on the last kilometer of the New York City Marathon at Columbus Circle, and he was putting on a pair of 6-inch pink pumps for the charity that he was representing. that he somehow managed to cross that last kilometer on and cross the finish line with these pumps on. So,
wow!
The motivations of people doing marathons and the charities, there's some some amazing things you see. I remember being passed in Berlin by some guy in a Eiffel Tower suit, and I thought, no way, I can't have somebody in Eiffel Tower suit pass me, so I had to speed up and leave him behind.
Good for you. Yeah, you do see in those big races all kinds of different costumes and themes and other things like that. So how many marathons has it been, Rick?
So Reykjavik was the 19th.
Okay, good for you. And you, I mean, it sounds like you've done, there's a lot of variety in that 19. It's not like you've just been doing the same one multiple times. You've done a lot of different races.
Yeah, the only one that I've done twice has been Mississauga. I guess that's because it's the local marathon. That's where I live. But, you know, I really have had the pleasure of even doing in your hometown of Ottawa. I just loved passing the Parliament buildings and getting across the river and so on. And, you know, some of the other marathons like Detroit, where you run over the Ambassador Bridge into Canada, then back through the tunnel, and the Niagara Falls International, where you're on the Peace Bridge going from Buffalo into Canada, then finishing at Niagara Falls. So, and even Budapest, being on the beautiful Danube River and crossing the famous Chain Bridge. And so they're just great memories as a runner to experience cities on the run.
Yeah, and somewhere in there, you actually did qualify for Boston, right?
I did, and, you know, Mark, it's funny, this time last year, I qualified in the Buenos Aires Marathon, and I didn't realize until a running friend mentioned to me that, the Boston qualifying is the day that you would be running Boston, and I was just 3 minutes, 1 second under my qualifying time of 3:55, but then all winter, I was kind of worrying that wouldn't be enough. And as you know, given the dynamics over the last 3 years or so, they take the fastest runners. So the qualifying times have been tougher with more and more runners qualifying but not getting in. And I worried that 3:01 under my BQ wouldn't be fast enough. So I registered for Reykjavik, Iceland in August, which I knew would afford, you know, some level of civility with respect to, you know, cool temperatures and generally flat course. So that actually worked out well. I was able to bring my time down so that I was 6 minutes 15 under my BQ. And
good for you.
And I know from reading your fantastic book that you know, from your qualifying, when you actually qualify until you get that email, that you just don't think it's enough. So after a worrisome few weeks, and I registered at my appropriate day on marathon week in September, and then I got the email, and it was just euphoria just to actually know after 19 marathons that I get a chance to run Boston next April.
Yeah, well, good for you. Congratulations. And you made the right call, because the cutoff ended up being 3:23, so that marathon in Buenos Aires wouldn't have been enough, right?
Exactly. I would have missed it by 22 seconds.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
So going to Iceland, I guess, paid off.
Yeah, and, exactly. So now you're getting ready. I mean, it's early yet, but is that the next marathon on your list then, is to actually run Boston next April?
Yes, I don't have a marathon in between scheduled. I'm going to do the Hamilton Road to Hope half marathon in a couple weeks, and you know, some of the other fun runs around, the eggnog jog up in Caledon Hills. But yeah, it's Boston is next on the list, and really looking forward to that. And again, I'll cite your book as you know, great. Inspiration that helped me, particularly over the last little while, where I even enrolled a coach for the first time who helped me get into 6:15 under my BQ.
Yeah.
So that I've never had a coach before.
Well, I'm so glad it worked out, and thank you for saying that about the book. It sounds like your story was similar to mine, in that I qualified in my 20th marathon. You qualified in your 19th. So it was a long road in both cases.
Yes, for sure. And
but,
there's some incredible parallels. You were 22 seconds under, and I was If I hadn't Reykjavik, I would have been 22 seconds over.
That's right, yeah. Unfortunately, I got in when it was a little bit easier, when the cutoff was only a minute two. But I'm very excited for you about doing Boston. It is going to be worth it. You're going to relish it and enjoy it so much, and maybe even more so because it has been such a long road. So good luck with that and enjoy the experience. And thank you very much for joining us on the show today.
Thank you so much, Mark. It's been a pleasure.
That's Rick Shaver of Toronto. Coming up next, we'll talk to the top Canadian woman from the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon. iRun Radio is brought to you by New Balance Canada, whose 806 V8, released this fall, is the perfect new road shoe whether your distance is the 5K or the marathon. The 806 V8 is fast, light, and comfortable. It's the perfect shoe for helping you reach a new PB. Welcome back. Our next guest on iRun Radio was the top Canadian woman in the Scotiabank Toronto Waterfront Marathon, and she's also the subject of a fascinating interview on the iRun website. Leslie Sexton, welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me on.
And congratulations on your performance in Toronto. You must be very happy with that.
I was, yeah.
Tell me how the race went.
So it was good, like, on the day that was pretty much, like, everything I'd kind of hoped for and expected to achieve. Like, I knew going in I wanted to be contending for the Canadian title. And my coach and I, once we saw the weather we were going to have on race day, we knew we had to adjust the goals a bit, and we couldn't really go for a personal best that day because it definitely got a bit hot in the second half. So, yeah, the main thing out there was just, like, trying to pace it well, trying to be smooth and relaxed early on. And then over the second half, I kind of put some work into the gap, the group I was with early on, and, yeah, managed to get the title, and I was really happy with the time, so very happy with it overall.
Tell me a little bit about how you became a runner and when you started to discover that long distances were in your wheelhouse and that you had the potential to be very competitive at that level.
Yeah, so I've been involved with the sport for quite a while. I think, like, even back in grade school, when I was in grade three, I wanted to do school sports, but when you're that young, that's really the only sport they let you do. I can't exactly go out and make the basketball team. I was pretty short and small at that age. So yeah, cross country and track and field were something I did every year with the school, and just discovered over time that was the sport I enjoyed. I liked it more than team sports, and I liked the idea that you can put in work and you're sort of the one in control of your results. So. I kept up doing it with school, and ran with a track club in high school, and then I ran for Queens in university. And I guess the the result or the moment that I thought I might have some talent at the longer distances was in my third year of school at Queens, just after the spring track season. There was a local half marathon. I sort of looked at the race information, and they were offering like a $500 bonus for a course record. I sort of looked at it at the time, and I thought, like, oh, I worked at the pace, and I was like, oh, I could probably do that. I trained for this half marathon. I don't think I'd even raced a 10K before, but just sort of jumped into it and ran probably what's still like the most painful race of my life. I definitely blew up, and I had a really painful last 5K, but in the end I got the record, and the recovery was awful, though. I it took me like about 3 weeks before I could actually run and train again, and I was walking down the stairs sideways, like a lot of the stuff you see after someone's actually run a marathon rather than a half. But
but you got the $500, right?
Yeah, so I got the money, which is great. Even after that, like, really rough recovery, I felt awful. But at the same time, I was kind of like, oh, that was cool going long like that. And I like the idea that, like, towards the end of a race, you could be, you can be hurting and, I guess, in a lot of discomfort, but still keep up your pace. Whereas I'd done a lot of middle distance races, and I found, like, in the 1500, if you don't pace it well and you blow up, like, you're done. So I really like that aspect of it. And yeah, for some reason, that somewhat horrible experience doing my first half told me, well, one, like, I could make some money road racing, which is great, and two, that I like the longer stuff, and I definitely wanted to try a marathon after that.
Yeah, I love that story. The fact that the bonus is what drew you to doing that distance, and you went for it, and you got the money, but you paid a bit of a price too physically. But that is one of the things you learn from long distance running, is that obviously you don't want to take it to an extreme where it's dangerous to your body, but that you, even when you are getting to an uncomfortable level, you can keep going.
Yeah, exactly, and that's sort of what drew me to the sport in the first place, just being able to test your limits both in training and racing, and really see, I guess, like, what you're made of when it gets really tough out there, and you have to decide if you're going to, push yourself and push through that, I won't say pain, like, you don't want to push through pain, but pushing through that discomfort. Yeah, that's what I love about the sport. Like, just testing myself and seeing what I'm capable of out there, and I'm able to do that better over a longer distance rather than a shorter run one.
Now, you did a great interview on the iRun website, and you were asked to who some of your heroes are, and some of them are fictional characters, people like Princess Leia. You're a big Star Wars fan, and also Wonder Woman. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I've always been a bit of a geek. I'm sure people know I'm really into Star Wars and a lot of the latest, like, superhero movies and stuff coming out. So it's just like something I've always liked, and I think I can draw inspiration from a lot of different sources, like whether it's running or something else like that. And I think that's kind of the cool thing about like some of the newer movies and a lot of stories that are coming out, that they're like, I'm happy to see more like female heroes in movies and in TV and that kind of thing. I think we still have a long way to go, but I think a lot of shows or movies are getting more diverse that way, and people can just see themselves in a lot of the different heroes that they see on TV. A really big thing for me in the past couple of years was, like, the possibility of, like, oh, we get a female Jedi in Star Wars. And I think that's awesome. And when I see, like, I go to, like, comic book conventions and that kind of thing once in a while, and when I see kids excited about the same thing, it makes me really happy. So, like, I want them to see in fiction, like strong female characters doing great things and looking up to them that way. I think that's something that's I think still in track and field, some of the coverage definitely is a little more biased towards men. So maybe that's why I've gravitated to heroes outside the sport. So I think again, we've got a long way to go, both in sort of cinema and fiction, and in the sport itself,
sure.
Like playing up some of those female heroes so that other people could be inspired by that and use that as an example.
I wanted to hear your comments about how women are portrayed in sports, because that ties into what you were just talking about with regard to movies and the film industry, because there is still that element of, there has been some progress achieved. I know in some sports they've started, for example, in tennis, to give equal prize money at the majors to men and women, which was something that was long overdue. But there is still, women are still treated differently in sports, aren't they?
Yeah, and I mentioned that, like, I guess in the interview with iRun I did before the race, that when you think about it, in track and field, fortunately, we actually have it pretty good. because like a lot of road races you look at, like there is equal prize money. And actually, I just read something, I think it was just yesterday, about the New York Marathon a while back being the first to start women off separately so that the women's race wasn't kind of playing second fiddle to the men. So yeah, I think there's a lot of positive things going on in the sport of athletics, and certainly women in this sport we have a lot better than in some team sports. But yeah, I think there are still definitely some changes we can make. And like you mentioned, I think one of the big ones there is how the mainstream media covers the sport, and just giving some fair coverage to women's sport, just like they do with the men's. And I think you see some of the bad examples of this, like during, say, during the Olympics, where a lot of the, you know, women's achievements kind of get overshadowed by something a guy does. So yeah, I think the way more the mainstream media, the way they cover the sport, really needs to change. Because it does affect the viewers and how they see things in terms of like seeing women and like talking about their outfits and how they look rather than
right.
Their performance. So yeah, I guess that's one of the main things there.
Yeah. Well, I think it's great that you're speaking out about these things. It's important that there are strong voices, and I encourage people to read more about what you said on this topic at the iRun website, because it was a very interesting interview that you did before the race in Toronto. Leslie, great to talk to you. Thank you very much for joining us on the show, and continued good luck to you as you continue to race. Thank you.
Thank you.
That's Leslie Sexton. You can check out the interview Ben Kaplan did with Leslie at irun.ca. Coming up next, running every single day for more than 38 years. We'll be right back. Registration is now open for the Tamarack Ottawa Race Weekend. It's Canada's biggest marathon weekend, May 26th and 27th, with a kids race, a 2K, 5K, 10K, half marathon, and the Lumberjack Challenge, four races covering a distance of 59.2K. It's the event of the year, and we'd love to see you there. Rick Raymond is a Toronto dentist who has run every single day for more than 38 years, and he's also completed more than 350 marathons. Ben and I had a chance to catch up with Rick at the Toronto Marathon a couple of weeks ago.
Rick, it's great to see you again.
It's a pleasure to join you, as it always is.
And how have you been? How many marathons have you done this year?
This year I've done 11. So my total now is 351. But quite truthfully, this was probably the worst year that I've had.
Why the worst? What's gone wrong?
A lot of injuries. And as you know, I'm a streak runner, so I'm up to now 38 years, 10 months. And it hit me one day this year that I'm always tired. I don't know what it feels like to be refreshed and not sore, my back, my leg, my knee. But I still keep on doing it. So, you know, I don't care.
So it doesn't make you think, okay, I need to take a break from running and get some rest. You've got to keep the streak going?
I'll tell you why. In Canada, there's nobody ahead of me as far as the streak. Ruling out U.S., which has their own streak numbers, there's only one person internationally ahead of me since Ron Hill quit. This guy's from South Africa, and he's 80, so I want to pass this guy. So that's why I'll keep on going.
How far did he get?
He's about a year ahead of me. He hasn't, you know, like I said, he's 80. But his streak is approaching 40 years. Mine's approaching 39. So, but is it counterproductive? Probably. But I'll still keep on doing it.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's all about choosing where the priority is, right? You can get some rest and you can feel better, or you can keep the streak going and you can get to 40 years and beyond.
And really, as far as my marathon time now, I've accepted the fact that, you know, I'm slow, real slow now. And I just enjoy finishing marathons, as I've told you before. And even 2-3 weeks ago, the weekend they canceled Montreal, I found a marathon, because I had registered for Montreal, I found a marathon in upstate New York, Binghamton, New York. 90 runners started, 61 finished, because it was hotter in Binghamton than it would have been in Montreal. I was so far dead last. I was 14 minutes behind the guy ahead of me because everybody behind me dropped out. But I don't know if you guys have ever been last, but it's great. You have an escort. I had a guy on a bike. He was getting me pop. He was getting me freezies. I could have stayed out there for 2 days. So
that's a good story. That's a good distinction. There's honor in being last.
And as my wife says, it's good for my ego to come in last. But I've accepted that. And, you know, I'm still, as I said to John Stanton, you know, he just turned 70. I'm thankful that I can still do it. So I'll keep on doing it until they take me off the course. But right. I say I know you guys, so they'll keep me on. So.
Good luck with that.
Have you done any new marathons recently?
I'm thinking. I did that one in Binghamton, sponsored by Dick's Sporting Goods, but it was very small, and I wouldn't have done it. I'm trying to think. No, I haven't. I haven't.
So you have a lot of familiar ones that you go back to every year.
Yeah. It'll be nice to find some new ones, but, you know, I like Erie, I like Buffalo, and I've just become an ambassador for the Glass City Marathon in Toledo, which is a phenomenal marathon. I've seen them grow just like this one. This one, STWM, when it started, there were 476 finishers. Toledo was very similar, very small. Now it's up, it sells out every year. And, you know, I'm humbled that they chose me to be a Canadian ambassador. So,
is there one that you've done more than any other?
Probably this one. I've done this 17 times. I've done Grandfather Mountain, which is the hardest one. You should do Grandfather Mountain in North Carolina. It's 4,300-foot incline. I've done that 10 times. I've done Glass City probably more than this. I've probably done that 25 or 30 times. So there's certain places I like running. The roads don't like me anymore, but the hardest day I had this year was Niagara-on-the-Lake. When I developed really bad muscle cramps, both legs. And they would have taken me off the course if they didn't know who I was. Not that I'm anybody special, but it took me 5 hours plus to finish the last 12 miles. But they let me finish. So if you want to tabulate my time, you can figure that out after.
Yeah, I just think that's just amazing. I mean, one of the questions that I would want to ask you is, what's going through your mind when you're doing this? And like, where do you find the strength to press on?
I love getting a T-shirt and a medal and buying jackets and talking to you guys. I love being with runners. I do. And I mean, this whole thing, it's what's part of it. You know, I think how crummy I feel, but I'm used to that now. And like you, and you, Mark, you know, I've done it all. I've done my fast marathons. I've placed high in a lot of marathons. So I used to say I could run, I think I told you this, a sub-3-hour marathon with my eyes closed. So somebody's getting back at me now for being so pompous. So, but I'll keep on doing it.
And you give a talk every year at this expo, yeah. And I know you speak at others. What do you tell people?
Well, here they're asking. I talk because Virginia Lee and myself were the only two runners who have done all 17. So the theme is why we keep coming back. So, and you know, I love this marathon, and it's a great city, and Alan does a great job, and everything about it is it's a super marathon.
I want to talk a little more about the streak, and I want you to tell the story again about how it got started and when it became a streak for you.
When I was at 270 days without missing a day, one of my friends, who a lot of people probably know Brian Williams. He did CBC Sports, and he does a lot of Olympic skating and everything. I told him that I hadn't missed a day in 270 days. So on the 6 o'clock CBC News, this is a long time ago, he said his friend Rick Raymond hasn't missed a day in 270 days. That's when it started. So it's his fault. But it's interesting, and I'm asked a lot, what will I give up, my streak or running marathons? And again, I think I mentioned to you, it's like asking which of my kids I like better.
So you want to keep doing both, lots of marathons and keep the streak alive?
Yeah, if I can.
What's the closest you ever came to not running on one day?
March 2016, for about 2 months, the MRI showed a torn medial meniscus, but by the time I had the MRI, it was starting to heal. So I would get in my car, put stuff on my leg, go to a parking lot in a church near my house, and I'd run in the parking lot so nobody could see me. Like I was barely moving. One day I said, I don't think I can go out. And I had dressed, and I started taking my stuff off, and then I said, am I a wimp? I can do this. So I did it. That was the closest I ever came to not going out.
And did it hurt?
Hurt like hell, if I can say that. I can say more, but it really hurt. And it still hurts when I try to run fast, and I think mentally that's what's even slowing me down more. So, but I, you know, I can still do it. I'll be out for a long time tomorrow. You'll be done and probably showered.
But you know what? I always say running a five-hour marathon is harder than running a three-hour marathon because you're out there longer. So the marathons have gotten more challenging and tougher, and they're a greater endurance test for you as you've moved on here.
And I can tell you one quick story. First of all, 5 hours, I'd be thrilled. It's going to be six. But I ran a marathon a few times in St. John, New Brunswick. Nice little marathon. And I was still running fairly quickly then. And, you know, I was maybe just over 3 hours. And my wife and I finished. My wife met me. Marcia and I went back to our hotel. I showered. We had lunch. And we came back to the finish line. And we saw a guy by himself running a 6:10 marathon. And I said to my wife, why do these guys do this? And I'm one of those guys now. So.
And now you know why they do it.
Yeah. I wonder where that guy is now.
Well, I know you're never going to stop, Rick. And you're an inspiration to many runners. Thank you so much for joining us.
My pleasure.
That is Rick Raymond, who has a running streak of almost 39 years. And that's it for iRun Radio this week. Coming up on next week's show, we're going to talk to a woman who uses running to escape the voice in her head. It's an incredibly inspiring story. I hope you can join us then. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.